Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, like I said, we're in this message series, I Can Handle It. But what do we mean when we say handle it? What is that when we're talking about uncertainty, when we're talking about anxiety? How are you going to handle it? It means this. It means the ability to overcome challenges by successfully managing one's thoughts, emotions, and actions. So you are going to be able to overcome that uncertainty, overcome that anxiety, and overcome that stress successfully by managing your thoughts, by managing your emotions, and by managing your actions. And today, as we dive into stress, let's go back one more time and let's look at the definition for stress that we are using for these messages. It's this. It's a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. So what does that really mean for us? Okay, let's break that down. Here, once again, we're talking about stress. Where does stress come from? Stress comes from the challenge or the demand that is put on our lives. And when we experience that challenge, when we face that demand, all of a sudden, strain and tension enters into our life. And that strain and tension gives us a feeling that we call stress. You will not find the word stress in the Bible, but here's what you will find. You will find a lot of stories that have to do with challenges and demands. You will find a lot of verses that have to do with strain and with tension. And one of those verses is found in John chapter 16. This is what Jesus says. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Now, notice right there, it doesn't say that you might have trouble. It doesn't say you could have trouble. It doesn't say that it is possible to have trouble. He says you will experience trouble. But he closes with this, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, I think every single one of us would admit that we are not going to get rid of challenges or demands anytime soon. And if we can't get rid of challenges and demands, that means that we cannot get rid of strain and tension. And if we can't get rid of strain and tension, then we cannot get rid of the feeling that we call stress. So if I cannot change my predicament, then I need to change my perspective. If I cannot change my predicament, then I need to change my perspective, because Jesus said, in this world, as long as we are here on this planet, as long as you are breathing in oxygen and pushing out carbon dioxide, you are going to experience challenges here. You are going to feel the feeling of stress. And if we cannot change the predicament, then we need to change our perspective about this thing that we call stress. Now, there's a scripture that we looked at last week, and I want to look at it again today in a different translation of the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, instead of resisting the trial, we should focus on persisting in the trial. You see, too many people are trying to avoid the trial. And if they're not trying to avoid the trial, they're trying to abort the trial. They're either trying to get around it, or if they find themselves in it, they're trying to get out of it. But no, that is not where we need to live. We don't need to resist the trial. We need to persist in the trial. Why? Because what we find in the trial is valuable. What we find in this trial is going to cause us to be mature and well-developed and complete. So let me just challenge you with this. Don't be put off by what pays off. Don't be put off by what pays off. You say, well, what pays off? What pays off is perseverance, because it causes us to grow up and become who God desires for us to be. And so whenever we step into a trial, we have to see that it is a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. And just because you feel the intense strain, just because you feel the pressure of that demand, that does not mean that you have to live your life stressed out. Let me say that again. Just because you feel the challenge, just because you feel the demand, does not mean that you have to live stressed out. No. Let me provide another perspective. If the Apostle Paul wrote about joy while he was sitting in a jail cell, then don't you believe we can live not stressed out? If the Apostle Paul took the book of Philippians, which is known as the letter of joy, and he wrote that letter in a jail cell, and he was talking about joy, don't you believe that we can handle our stress? You see, we need to get our perspective right, because if we don't get our perspective right, then we're not going to be able to get the handles right. So it always starts in our mind, and we've got to get our mind right. We've got to get our perspective right. And so now we begin to see, okay, if I can't change the predicament, if I can't change the fact that I'm in this world, and I can't change the fact that what Jesus told me is true, that I will have trouble, if I can't change that, then what do I have to do? I've got to change my perspective. I've got to begin to see it in a different way, and I've got to begin to see that I can handle it. I can manage my thoughts. I can manage my emotions. I can manage my actions, and I can come out successful on the other side, because the Spirit of Christ is working in me and He is working through me. So I don't have to live stressed out. No, instead, I can handle it. Come on, you just need to type it in the chat right now. Some of you are just typing it in faith. You might feel stressed out right now. Just type it in the chat. I can handle it. Let it be your declaration of faith over your life right now, because I am telling, let me go ahead and speak this over your life right now. You can handle it. Yeah, the challenge might be intense. Yes, the demand might be high. Yes, the tension and the strain is very real. And yes, you feel the pressure of stress on your life, but you can handle it. You need to declare, say it again out loud right now. Say, I can handle it. That's exactly right. You can handle it. Come on now. As we continue on in this, with this thought process right now of dealing with this stress, and last week, if you remember, last week we talked about one of the things that stress creates in our life is that stress creates frustration. Now listen, if you were not watching last week, you need to go back and you need to watch this. You need to go back and watch, because stress can create frustration. Now, next week, we're going to be talking about how stress can create fatigue. But today, we're going to talk about one of the other things that stress creates in our life, and that is fear. Stress can create fear. When we feel that challenge and demand and that tension and that strain begins to build in our lives, sometimes it comes out as frustration. Sometimes it comes out in fatigue. But so many times our stress will come out as fear. Now, I want to give you two different types of fear, because fear is so complex and there are so many different facets of fear and things that we could talk about when we talk about fear. But let me just give you two major things as we talk about fear. The first type of fear is an immediate reaction, an immediate reaction. Another type of fear is an ingrained response. So we have an immediate reaction and we have an ingrained response. What are we talking about when we talk about an immediate reaction? What we're talking about is years ago, I was driving down the road, and as I was driving down I-20, the hood of the car in front of me popped up, and it didn't just pop up on their car, it popped up off of their car, and that hood goes flying through the air. I remember it just like it was slow motion. And I'm driving. And so, you know, the hood, if it's a car in front of you, like here it's coming down, right? I mean, it's gravity and it's coming down. And I just remember driving going, oh no. And watching that hood just go right off to the side and bang. And I remember, man, my heart was racing. My palms are sweating right now. Just remember, there was an immediate reaction of fear in that moment. I remember just a couple years ago, I was in Africa, and I had gone on a safari, and we were riding around in one of those jeeps, and man, we had seen all of the animals, and we saw some lions in the distance, and the guide says, oh, they're going to the watering hole. That's where we're gonna go to the watering hole so we can see these lions. And so we're driving down the road, and we pull in this little inlet, and it was just a small little pond there. And so we pull in this little inlet, it's up on a little bluff, and sure enough, so as soon as we're there, and he says we can get out of the car, it's the only place like in the whole park that you could actually get out. So we get out of the vehicle, and sure enough, there come the lion right on the other side. I'm talking maybe 60, 80 yards away on the other side of this pond. And I mean, the hippos are down there in the water, and there we are. We're standing up on this little bluff, and man, you're watching this lion, and man, this lion is just like pacing back and forth. And right, I mean, he's just staring us down. He's just pacing back and forth. And then that lion let out a roar. And everything on the inside of me vibrated. I mean, I could feel my lungs and my heart beating up against my rib cage. Everything, I mean, my liver and my bladder and everything in me was shaking and stirred up. And as soon as that lion roared, I was like, okay, guys, I'm going to get back in the truck right now. I'll see everything that I need to see from there. And then the guide actually said, well, the lion didn't actually roar. He said that was probably only about 25% of his roar. And I was like, okay, can we leave before he actually roars? Like, 100%. See, that was an immediate reaction. And that's one type of fear. But the type of fear that I want to really zero in on today is an ingrained response. What are we talking about, an ingrained response? We're talking about something in your life that's deeply rooted. We're talking about something that's a part of your everyday lens. It's a part of your perspective. It is your point of view. It is how you see the world. You see the world through this lens of fear. Now, some people are more susceptible to this just based on their personality, or maybe based in the home that they were raised in. But then there's other people that have just practiced. They've practiced living in fear for so long, then it has become an ingrained response. You know, here at North Point, we talk so much about attitude, and we define attitude as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. And you can actually have the attitude of fear. You see, what that means is that our settled way of feeling about challenges, right, our settled way of feeling about demands, it begins to bring fear into our life. That is the attitude of fear. Or how about this? Our settled way of thinking about tension, our settled way of thinking about strain. It's the way we think about these things. And when we think about these things, or when we feel these things, fear is the response that comes out of our life. Where does this response come from? It comes from deeply rooted within us. It is an ingrained response. So today I want to take just a moment, and we're going to take a look at the life of Moses. Now, whenever we start talking about Moses, I mean, man, we're talking about the guy who went up on the mountain, got the Ten Commandments. We're talking about the man who stood at the Red Sea and lifted up his staff, and the people of Israel walked through on dry ground. I mean, we're talking about Moses. One of the things that come to our mind is like a man of faith, right? He was a man of faith. But I want to show you that the man of faith had some moments of fear. He had some struggles with fear. He had some struggles with his identity, maybe some struggles with insecurity. He had some struggles. He had some battles with fear. Let me just share with you, if you're not familiar with the story of Moses, let me just talk to you just for a moment about Moses and who Moses was. Moses was actually a Hebrew, so he was one of God's people. And he was born at a time when God's people were enslaved in Egypt. And so he was born at a time actually where they were killing all of the young boys. And so Moses' mom actually puts him in the Nile River and pushes him down a little ways. And Pharaoh's daughter happens to come out and to be bathing in the river. And she sees the baby in the basket and she takes Moses out of that basket. And so now you have a Hebrew boy that is being raised by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's palace. But then one day, Moses is out and he's seeing his people and they're being mistreated by the Egyptians, and he confronts the Egyptian and they get into a confrontation, and Moses actually kills the Egyptian. And after Moses kills the Egyptian, he tries to cover it up. He buries the body. He tries to act like nothing happened. But then his worst fear comes to pass, and that is that Pharaoh hears about it. And so now, since he killed an Egyptian, now Pharaoh is trying to kill him. And Moses takes off running. And now Moses goes a long, long way. He goes all the way to this place called Midian. And Moses would spend 40 years in Midian. Now, as you read through the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 2, this is where we catch the story of, that I just kind of brought you up to speed on. But in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is having this encounter at this burning bush. And maybe you're familiar with the story, and God speaks out of this burning bush. But from Exodus 2 to Exodus 3, and now I know it's right there next to each other in your Bible. I know you can just flip a page and there you are. But there is a 40-year gap. A 40-year gap from the time that Moses flees Egypt until he has this encounter with the burning bush. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that speaks to this. We don't know what Moses was thinking during these 40 years, but can we just talk for a moment about humanity? Can we just talk for a moment about some of the struggles that Moses might have had during this time? Can we talk for a moment about the days that Moses might have been looking over his shoulder, wondering if Pharaoh was going to send somebody to take his life? Come on, don't you know that that was a reality? I mean, don't you know that it was a possibility? Don't you know that there was a time? Surely at some point there was somebody in the distance walking towards Moses, and he had to be thinking, is this it for me? Are these people from Egypt? Has Pharaoh sent them to take my life? And don't you know, maybe there was some nights where Moses was laying his head down trying to go to sleep, but he couldn't get out of his mind that he had killed a man. And not only had he killed a man, he knows that that is against what God would have him to do. And so here he is, while he's afraid that Pharaoh might be coming for him, maybe he's also concerned that his God is going to reject him. I mean, we have to see that Moses was dealing with some real fears in these 40 years. And then we get into Exodus chapter 3. We get into this moment where this bush is on fire. This bush is on fire, and there's a voice that speaks out of this bush, and it is the voice of God. And God calls out to Moses. Moses is just minding his own business. He's just tending his sheep. He's minding his own business, doing his thing, and he notices the bush is on fire. It's not being consumed, and he's like, wow, this is amazing. Let me go see what's happening over there. And he walks over there, and now God is speaking through this burning bush. And this is what God says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. It says, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? But do you know what God says? God says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Moses, I am calling you out, but listen, I will be with you. But Moses protested. That was his first protest. But Moses doesn't stop there. Even after God says, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to take care of all the details, he comes back in verse 13 and Moses protests again. If I go to the people of Israel and I tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God says, you tell them, I am that I am. You tell them that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob, and that I have heard their cry. But that still wasn't good enough for Moses. Moses says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, but Moses protests again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? God says, Moses, what is that in your hand? He says, it's a staff. God says, throw it down. He throws it down and that staff turns into a snake. He says, Moses, show me your hand. And his hand looked normal. He said, Moses, put your hand into your cloak. And he said, now take it out. And it was his hand was full of leprosy. He said, put it back into your cloak. He puts it back into his cloak. He pulls it back out and his hand is completely normal. And he says, Moses, if the first miracle doesn't work and the second doesn't work, why don't you go get some water out of the Nile River and pour it onto the floor in front of Pharaoh, and I will turn that water into blood. Moses, I am going to do miracles for you. Still not good enough for Moses. Verse 10, Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. God says, who makes a mouth? God says, I will instruct you in what you need to say. Moses, just chill out and trust me. In verse 13, it says, and Moses pleaded again, Lord, please send anyone else. Just send anyone else, God. Please, can you find somebody else? Anybody. God, can you send anybody else? Now God is upset. And now God says, okay, how about Aaron? How about your brother Aaron? He can be your spokesperson now. Just go. I want you to think about this just for a moment. There is a voice that is coming out of a burning bush that is not being consumed, and Moses is arguing about what he can do with that voice. I just want you to see that for a moment. Here it is, the burning bush, Moses arguing about what's possible. Moses arguing about what he can do. Moses is arguing and pleading and protesting. And here the bush is on fire and God is speaking from the flames. So where does this come from? This is an ingrained response. This is an ingrained response. This is somebody who has learned to live in fear. He's been hiding in Midian, afraid of what Pharaoh might say, afraid of what God's people might say, or the God of the people might say. We see this ingrained response coming out in this moment, and Moses is afraid. He's afraid. He's struggling with his identity. He's struggling with possibility. Listen, he might have struggled his whole life with this, being a Hebrew boy living in Egypt. He's too Hebrew to be Egyptian. He's too Egyptian to be Hebrew. He doesn't really know where he fits in this world. Now he's a murderer and he's running for his life. And now he finds himself on the backside of the desert in the wilderness, a long way away from Egypt, and he's hiding and he's struggling with his identity, and he's also struggling with his possibility. And here we see this man who is now ingrained in a response of fear. Fear is very real. Fear is so real that the most common command in the Bible is do not fear. Do not be afraid. You know, they say it's like 365 times, one for each day of the year. You know, some people say 330, some people say 400. I don't know. It's in there a lot. It is the number one command. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And you see, out of God's word, he is speaking to us and he's telling us, hey, listen, do not fear. Do not be afraid. One of my favorite verses about fear is found in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, and it says this, "Do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand." You see, the scripture says, do not yield to fear. Do not yield to fear. You don't have to yield to what you feel. You do not have to yield to what you feel. Sure, you are going to feel moments of fear. Definitely, if you are wired that way in your personality, if that was the home that you were brought up in, if you've been practicing an ingrained response of fear for a number of years, you are going to feel that fear. But listen, according to the Word of God, you don't have to yield to what you feel. In those moments of fear, you do not have to yield to it. Why? Because fear is trying to get you to give in. It's trying to get you to give up. It's trying to get you to give out. And you cannot yield to that fear. Remember what Jesus said in John 16. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. But take heart. But take courage, Jesus said. Because I have overcome the world. You see, you don't have to yield to fear because fear has already yielded to Christ. You don't have to yield to fear because fear has already yielded to Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is alive on the inside of you. So what do you do? What do you do when you experience the fear that comes from stress? What do you do when the challenge and the demand is so great and it creates an immense amount of strain and tension in your life? And the thing that you begin to feel filtering down from this stress is fear. What do you do? So the first thing that we have to do is the exact same thing that we talked about last week. You have to recognize. You have to be willing to recognize. You see, you have to be able to name it. You can't navigate it if you can't name it. So you've got to be able to name that this is fear. Now, this is where it gets difficult for Christians sometimes, because we say, well, I know as a Christian, I'm not supposed to have fear. The Bible tells me I'm not supposed to be afraid. But here's the thing, you are afraid. Pretending that you're not afraid is not going to help you with your fear. No, you cannot rectify what you do not identify. No, you can't make it right. You've got to identify and you've got to recognize, and you have to be willing to say, I am afraid right now. What I am feeling is fear. I've got to put a name on it so that I can successfully navigate it. I've got to be able to successfully manage it. And I can't do that if I don't put a name on it. So I need to call it for what it is. It is fear. That doesn't make you a bad person. Just remember what we read about Moses. Remember the fearful response that we heard coming from Moses. He's the same God that did all of the miracles. He's the same God that God spoke to face to face. He is that same guy. And so what we need to see is that fear is not going to disqualify you. No, fear is simply an opportunity for faith. It's an opportunity to grow. That's what fear is. But if we don't recognize it, if we don't name it, then we won't be able to navigate it. So what do we do after we recognize it? After we admit, okay, what I'm feeling right now is fear. Well, the reason that this fear is here, it's coming, it's channeling through stress, but it is fear. I've put a name on it. Now, what do I need to do? After I recognize, I've got to remind. Let me read you a scripture in Psalm 56, verse 3, says this, "But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" You see, it's so important that you remind yourself. You have to remind yourself about who he is, and you also have to remind yourself about what you are going to do, because that's what it says right there in that verse, right there in the scripture. It says, when I am afraid, that's why we have to recognize when I am afraid. I've got to know when I'm afraid, because when I'm afraid, I am reminded of who he is, and I'm reminded of what I am going to do. And what does the psalmist say? He says, I will put my trust in the Lord. When I am afraid, I recognize it. Now I will put my trust in the Lord. I'm reminding myself, and I will praise God, it says. I will praise God for what he has promised. Come on, what has God promised you? What has God promised you in his word? Let me just give you a few of God's promises. He promised you that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. He promised that nothing would be able to separate you from his love. You know what? He promised you that he would work all things together for your good. He promised you that you would be able to do all things through the Spirit of Christ that is operating on the inside of you. Those are just a few of the promises that God gave you. You need to remind yourself. You need to remember his promises, but don't just remember them. Commit them to memory. Don't just remember them in a moment, like when you read a verse. No, you need to commit them into your memory. How do you do that? Through the power of declaration. Come on, you know, every Sunday we've already said, we put our hand over our heart. I am a child of God. Listen, I hope that's not the only declaration you do during the week. I hope you don't just hit it on Sunday and declare. I hope you are declaring every single day over your life. And can I tell you that if you struggle with stress and you really struggle with fear, you need to have daily declarations. You need to be declaring the truth of God's word over your life every day. Write them out on note cards. Tape them up on your mirror. Write them down so you can read them when you get to work every single day. But you've got to speak these declarations. You've got to say these declarations. Why? Because it's a part of the process. You have got to remind yourself. And after you remind, then you have to remain. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in John chapter 15. And Jesus says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The scripture says, if you will remain in Christ, you will bear fruit. But if you try to live apart from him, we can do nothing. You know, I came across this acrostic for fear a number of years ago, and it's actually two acrostics for fear. The first acrostic is this: forget everything and run. Forget everything and run. But the other one is this: face everything and rise. Come on, it's the exact same situation. It's the exact same challenge. It's the exact same demand. It's the exact same tension. It's the exact same strain. But what are you going to do? Are you going to forget everything that you know and run, or are you going to face everything and rise? Are you going to remain connected to the Word of God? Are you going to remain connected to his presence? Are you going to stay connected to Jesus? Are you going to stay connected to his body that is ultimately going to help you stay connected to the head that is Jesus Christ? You see, don't run from God. Instead, run to God. Don't run away from him when you feel fear. No, run to him when you feel fear. And don't just run to him for a moment. Decide that you are going to remain in him. And if you will remain in him, then you will begin to rise. You will begin to experience your life rising and going to another level, because Jesus said, if you will just remain in me, you will begin to experience fruit being produced in your life. And come on, when we talk about fruit, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. And if you want to see peace in your life, then you have got to remain connected to the vine. Come on, don't forget everything and run. That's why you are reminding yourself. You're reminding yourself about who God is so you don't forget and run. Instead, face everything. Face everything knowing who your God is. Face everything knowing who you are in Christ. Go ahead and face everything knowing that no matter what happens, I'm not running away from God. I'm staying connected to the vine. And as I stay connected to the vine, my life is going to begin to produce some fruit of peace and some fruit of patience. I'm going to begin to produce things in my life that I can only produce if I stay connected to Him. So you can face everything and find yourself rising because God is working in you if you will remain connected to Him. So after we remind and after we remain, then we must remove. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." The spirit of fear is not from God. And that means the ingrained response of fear is not God's way. No, the scripture says that God gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline or of self-control. But sometimes what I've found is that people try to remove before they remind and remain. And when you try to take it out of order, it just doesn't work because people say, oh, I don't need fear in my life. I need to get fear out of my life. But if you have not reminded yourself about how good your God is and how faithful your God is and how powerful your God is, if you haven't reminded yourselves of His promises, if you haven't decided that I'm going to remain in the vine, I'm going to stay closer to Jesus than ever before. I'm going to stay in His word. I'm going to stay in His presence. If you haven't done that and you just decide that you're going to remove, then what you're trying to do is remove it in your own strength. You're trying to remove it in your own way. No, be patient with removing it. If you just keep reminding and you just keep remaining, eventually you will get to the removing phase of your life. Now you might say, Philip, how do I remove fear? That's a great question. You know, there are a lot of ways that can help you remove fear. You can begin to go to a counselor, get some professional help. There are a lot of books that can help you with dealing with fear in your life. There are so many podcasts, things for you to listen to on YouTube. There are so many things that you can do, but there's one thing I'm telling you you can't do, and that is you can't let fear stay in control. You have got to get to the place where you are removing fear out of your life. Go ahead, remind yourself, remain in Christ, but this is a critical juncture where you got to begin to say, fear, you can't be in the driver's seat anymore. You got to take a back seat and eventually you got to get out. You cannot stay in my life. But we can't get them out of order. You got to stay in order. And then after you remove that fear, then this is what we begin to do. We begin to remake. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, Philip, how off-centered are you? Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to the content. The content is what we're paying attention to right now. So let me give you one last scripture as we wrap up today. And that is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's one of our favorite scriptures here at North Point. And it says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Let me just say this to you. Don't get stuck in a pattern of fear. Don't get stuck in a behavior of fear. Don't get stuck in an old custom of fear. Instead, let moments of fear produce movements of faith. Let moments of fear produce movements of faith in your life. You see, you just say, hey, you know what? Fear, it's not okay anymore. Fear can't stay here anymore. You know what? Things must change. I'm going to remind myself. I'm going to remain in Christ. I'm going to begin to remove that fear. And whenever fear begins to speak up, you need to speak back to that fear, and you need to let that fear know that you can handle it. Yes, fear may have been driving your life. Yes, fear may have been in control for a long time. But you need to speak up to that fear and say, fear, I can handle you now. Why? Because I am going to remake a new pattern. I am making a new path. I am making a new pattern. I am making a new life. No, no, this is what is happening on the inside of me right now. I'm not going to live in the same cycle. I'm not going to carry the same burdens. No, I am going to remake some things in my life, and I'm going to begin to live the life that God created me to live, and that is not a life that is driven by the spirit of fear. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you feel that fear and that strain and that tension? What are you going to do in that moment when it starts to build up? What are you going to do? The first thing you're going to do, you're going to recognize it. You're going to call it for what it is. You're not going to be ashamed of the fact that you're feeling fear, because you're going to say, you know what? Moses felt fear. Jeremiah felt fear. All these men and women of God throughout scriptures, they experienced fear as well. And God still used them for great things. So I'm going to call it for what it is. I am afraid, but I'm going to remind myself about who my God is. I'm going to remind myself about what I'm going to do. And when I am afraid, I am going to trust in Him. And when I trust in Him, I'm going to get connected to Him. I'm going to remain in Him. And as I remain in Him, His Spirit is going to help me remove that fear out of my life. And as I begin to remove that fear out of my life, I'm going to begin to remake some things in my life. And I'm going to begin to develop some new patterns. I'm going to begin to develop some new habits. I'm going to start developing some new behaviors. And when I start developing those new things, guess what? I am going to become a new person. My life is going to be transformed the same way that Romans 12:2 tells me that it is possible, that God wants to transform my life by changing the way that I think. You see, fear thought that it had a hold on you. No, no, no. Fear didn't know what was coming. Fear didn't know that there was going to be a series at North Point Community Church talking about, I can handle it. Fear didn't know it was coming for you, but fear didn't know that I was coming for it today. Come on, when you're feeling that fear, now you've got a response. You've got a response for that fear, and we're going to begin to see some things change in our lives because we are confident about this one thing. We are confident that we can handle it because we know that we are not alone. Our God is walking with us. Our God is for us. Our God is fighting our battles. Our God is on our side. He's not leaving us, and He's not forsaking us. He is with us right now. And if your God is with you, the same God that created the heavens and the earth, the same God that put you together, the same God that called you out of a life of sin, the same God that is with you, He is with you right now. That God, if He is with you, come on, nothing can stand against you. Nothing can stand against you. You can handle it. Doesn't matter how long fear has been in control of your life. You can handle it because the Spirit of God is going to help you break that pattern in your life.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.